once again with what it means to really love. Amen. Well, in honor of being here for 5 years, I'm taking the liberty, I prepared a message that's about 50 minutes in. That's okay, isn't it? We have been exploring together this whole month of January, a new year, renewed relationships. Today is the last in that series. And we've been exploring together. I suggested to you, if you're going to have one resolution for 2011, you might have many, but if you're going to have one, make it this one. Focus on improving your relationships. Focus on increasing your capacity to love. Focus on becoming a more loving person. We often discover too late sometimes that the quality of our lives really has everything to do with the quality of our love. Has everything to do with the quality of our relationships. You've heard me say 5,000 times in 5 years, the things that are most important obviously you haven't heard me say it enough. The things that are most important are always at the mercy of the things that are. Make in 2011 being a more loving person, increasing your capacity to love, one of the most important pursuits you possibly can have. We've also done something a little different each week. We have read 1 Corinthians 13, especially those four verses, 4-7, every single week. Do you have it memorized? You know, the beautiful description of Paul of what love looks like, what love looks like day in and day out. Paul and Jesus remind us that love is not predominantly a feeling. I mean, Hollywood would have us believe that love is a feeling. Paul and Jesus remind us that love is most importantly a decision, a choice, an act, something you do, oftentimes in spite of how you feel. And Paul describes it. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not boastful or arrogant or rude. Love is not self-seeking. Love is not always me first. Love is never selfish. Love doesn't insist on its own way. Love is not irritable or resentful. Love doesn't keep score. Love doesn't delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Love hopes all things, endures all things, believes all things. I've shared a spiritual practice that you might want to try for this year is to take that and to write those four verses down. And every time you see love, just put I there. I am patient. I am kind. Try that every day. Try that out for size. Today, what I want to focus on, love is not self-seeking. Love isn't always me first. Love is never selfish. Love doesn't insist on its own way. So try it, say it silent to yourself. I am not selfish. I am not self-seeking. I am not always me first. I do not insist on my own way. Can anyone tell me what Matthew chapter 7, verse 12 is? I couldn't have done that either. Let me help you out. It's the golden rule. So if somebody tells you if the golden rule is in the Bible, it's actually in the Bible. Matthew 7, verse 12. What does it say? Do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. Right? I'm going to suggest today that the golden rule, obviously our world would be immeasurably better if we lived by the spirit of the golden rule. Immeasurably better. Treat others as you want to be treated. Obviously. But this is how complex relationships are. The golden rule also, I believe, prevents a fullness of love. The golden rule can actually create conflict. I mean, Len Sweet is a pastor and professor. Len Sweet is like me. You know those big soft pretzels? You know the big ones? You get them at baseball games, sometimes at the airport. You know the ones I'm talking about? Oh, I love those. Len Sweet loves these, and he was in an airport, and he was trying to catch his flight, and his flight was about to board. He saw this he wants a soft pretzel. He's starving to death. He wanted a soft pretzel. And he said, I would like a pretzel with no butter. Oh, I'm sorry, we don't do that. We don't serve pretzels without butter. In fact, we can't imagine why anybody would want a pretzel without butter. They're so much better with butter. Trust me, you want a pretzel with butter, said the attendant as she was taking the pretzels from the hot oven and dipping them into that golden butter. And Len Sweet said, I don't think you understand me. I really want a pretzel with no butter. And she said, well, we don't serve pretzels without butter. This is how we serve pretzels. We believe everybody should have a pretzel with butter. And Len Sweet was like, okay, I don't think you're understanding. Okay, before you take that pretzel and dip it in the butter, I want that one. And she said, no, you don't understand. We that's not the pretzel we serve. We serve pretzels with butter. So at this day, he decided to go for broke. He said, okay, all right, I don't want to get into an argument. Let's make a deal. I will give you the price of two pretzels if you just give me that one pretzel before you dip it in the butter. She said, no, we really can't do that. We serve pretzels with butter. And really, we can't imagine why anybody would want a pretzel with no butter. Truly, trust me, sir. Trust me, sir. You know, if you've never had one with butter, you will like it. Trust me. And Len couldn't believe his eyes. So let me get this straight. You're refusing, even though I'm going to pay double, you're refusing to serve me a pretzel with no butter. And she said, yeah, we don't serve pretzels without butter here. And so it goes on. Len Sweet goes on to say, that person, following the letter of the golden rule, prevented him from being fed. And he wondered that sometimes when we live by the letter of the golden rule in our own relationships, whether we prevent human souls from being fed. Because everybody, really, everybody should have a pretzel with butter on it, right? And then there's those words from Paul. Love does not insist on its own way. Wow. You know what? There's an observation I make that I believe is a barrier in most, if not all, relationships that I see. What I witness in a lot of relationships is as human beings, we tend to love each other in the way that we like to be loved. As human beings, we tend to love each other, care for each other, treat each other in the ways that we're comfortable loving. But the challenge is, not always is that the way the other person needs to be loved, needs to be cared for. I mean, Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. What kind of love do we witness in Jesus? A sacrificial love. A love that didn't impose itself. A love that allowed room and space. A love that said to the man who was by the fountain for 20 years, do you want to be well? Not here is what you should do. A love that said to the blind man, what can I do for you? A love that listened. A love that was willing to get out of its comfort zones and go to where people were at. A love that was willing to lay something down for us. His reputation, his security, his time, his schedule, his life. Maybe the platinum rule is willing to lay down, being willing to lay down our agenda, being willing to lay down the way we see things, being willing to lay down insisting it must be this way, being willing to lay down our comfort that someone else might somehow through us experience God's unconditional love. You don't have to raise your hand, but anyone have a gold card? You have a gold card, credit card, gold card? Do you realize there's actually, you might have one of these too. There's a card above a gold card, which is a platinum. So there's actually a card, a credit card, that has a higher value than a gold card. So I'm wondering if there's actually something that has higher value, a step beyond the golden rule. The golden rule is do unto others as. Well, what about the platinum rule? Do unto others as they prefer to be done unto. Now again, you follow the letter of that law, you could get in trouble as well, but the spirit of it, do unto others as they need to be done unto. Love others, not as you want to be loved, love others as they need to be loved. Because if you think about the golden rule, where is the focus for the golden rule? Do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. The focus is on you. You know, I so often in my life think to myself, you know, why don't they just accept the good ideas I have for their life? You know, if only. So the focus is on me. But if we follow the golden rule, if I treat you the way I want to be treated, I'm assuming you're just like me. Thank God for you, you're not. I'm assuming your needs are the same as my needs. That your hopes and fears are the same as my hopes and fears. I am assuming that the way that I feel special and loved is the way you should feel special and loved. I am assuming that the way I am inspired is the way you're inspired. I'm assuming that what calls me is what calls you. So then I go, well, why aren't they inspired and passionate about the things that I'm passionate about? Because I'm loving from the golden rule. Because I am right after all. Seeking to insist my own way. You know, we are such a diverse community here. Wonderfully diverse, and I love it. I love it. I love it. There are people here who love pretzels with butter. There are people here who just love pretzels, no butter. There are people here who can't stand pretzels. There are people here who are gluten intolerant. There are people here who've never had a pretzel in their life. And the challenge, I mean, that is our greatest strength, I think. Our greatest strength is that core value, all are welcome always. That core value that you're accepted. There's room for you. There's room for you here, no matter where you are on your spiritual journey. But our strengths are often our challenges. So then it is, well, how do we treat each other? Not as we want to be treated, but how do we treat each other as you need to be treated? How do we make room for you? How do we not just tolerate those differences, but celebrate those differences? How do we get beyond the superficiality to get close enough? What do you need? Because I can't love in the platinum rule, which is to love you as you need to be loved, unless I get beyond all those walls that we use to protect ourselves. What do you need? How can I best love you? How can I best encourage you? How can I best support you? I mean, I dream of a community where our hopes and our fears become far more important than our likes and our dislikes. You know, I dream of a community where we're so close, where the seniors in our community know the names of our children and youth and are always asking themselves, are we doing enough? Are we meeting their needs? I dream of a community where the young people and the children in this know a good bunch of the names of our seniors and are asking themselves, are we doing enough? Are their needs being met? I dream of a community where we're loving like Jesus, where people have room. They can ask questions. They can struggle. And we don't listen from our paradigms, but we listen to their hearts. I wonder sometimes if the Christian church would spend less energy trying to insist that others follow the only way, the right way, and we spent more energy showing the world unconditional love. Which path do you think might be more attractive? I know a church that went on a mission trip. They gathered together. They got all passionate about building a school to a village in Africa. I saw some documentary. So they raised a bunch of money. They're all excited. They went on this mission trip. They're going to build a school and an orphanage. And got so frustrated. This church will remain nameless. But they got so frustrated because they met resistance after resistance after resistance. See, they didn't get close enough to listen to the tribal elders who said, we don't want a school, we want a well. But this church was so focused on, you know, education is the path to the future. There's nothing more important than education. We're so excited to build a school. Well, school's important, yeah. The golden rule. But the platinum rule was what they most needed, rightly or wrongly, was a well. I'm sad to say this church picked up stakes and went somewhere else. Love does not insist on its own way. Harville Hendricks wrote a marvelous book called Getting the Love You Want, and he tells a story about this man who's about to have his 40th birthday, and his wife loved him. His wife just cherished him. So she wanted to make it special. So she planned this big shindig. She rented out a ballroom in a hotel. And she had a favorite jazz combo that she brought in. She invited 400 friends to be part of this. I'm not sure I have four friends, let alone 400. So 400 friends, and she told them, don't tell them, it's going to be a surprise. She pulled it off. He had no idea. They got to the ballroom, and everybody was there to celebrate his life, and it was amazing. By all accounts, it was a spectacular success. And the couple went home exhausted, and the next day, this husband looked at his wife and said, you know, I just want to acknowledge, I know how hard that must have been, how hard you worked. And I so appreciate that. This is a gift I will remember forever. But there's something else. I do worry about the timing of this, but there is something else. He said, you've always been the one who likes big parties, who likes lots of people. You know, I like just a small group of people and an opportunity to exchange ideas. That was your kind of party. It wasn't my kind of party. See, it's how complex this is. This wife, out of love for her husband, genuine love, followed the golden rule, treated her husband in the way that she would hope that he would treat her. What she didn't do was get beyond her own life and listen to her heart. The platinum rule. The platinum rule is getting beyond ourselves, getting beyond our comfort zones, being willing to lay down our paradigms, our comfort, and to get close enough to listen to the hearts of others. I began this month by encouraging you to practice a spiritual discipline of placing an empty cup by your bedside and imagining every day just emptying yourself of all of those things that get in the way of you being loving. And then hold that cup out and recognize that we can't love in the way that we need to love by ourselves. We can't. We can't. But with and in God, we can. So it's holding that cup and saying, God, fill me. Fill me with that unconditional love. Fill me with that love that loves me before I change, as I'm changing, after I change, that loves me whether I change or not, because it is in the power and the healing of that love that I can change. Love like Jesus. To conclude this series, I want to invite you into an experiment. The experiment, as we're getting ready to take our offering this morning, the experiment is inspired by a book by Cammie Walker. Highly recommend it if you haven't read it. It's called 29 Days of Giving, How Giving Transformed My Life. But this is called 28-Day Giving Experiment. There are these calendars on that little podium, that little box by the door there. There are these calendars on the welcome table. And there's sign-ups all on the tables in the comments. What I would love to do as a way to get out of ourselves is I would love you to give a gift every day for 28 days. Every day in the month of February. A gift might be a smile, a compliment, a card, a phone call, a meal to someone. Whatever the gift is, a gift from your heart. Pay attention to people's hearts out there and give a gift from your heart with no expectation of receiving anything in return. And write down what you gave every day for 28 days. Write down and be aware of any gifts you receive in return. And somewhere, somehow, maybe a potluck, we'll gather, and I'd love to hear your stories. So I encourage you to sign up for this. I encourage you to grab one of these, and let's make the month of February the day of giving love. Not just golden rule love, platinum love. As the offering is received, we recognize we love because God first loves us.